B-Pod Studios.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Kutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. Apparently the Brookline teachers were on strike, and they've come to a contract agreement at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. How much does that suck if you're a teacher?
And you got to go to work now?
Yeah. Like, you thought, like, all right, you know, this sucks. Like, we gotta strike for a while. But the good news is, like, I don't have to go in. And then, like, the phone rings and it's some mass message from the union head that you got to go in. I mean, what's the quality of work at Brookline High going to be today?
Or you're like a parent who didn't know whether or not your kids were actually going to be able to go to school today.
Well, that would be fine by me. I mean, just, yes, you're in school. That's not going to affect when I get up. It's if I'm a teacher, I'm just like, maybe you drag this thing out for a little bit longer. let's give me a couple days here. Even though I will tell you this, as underpaid as teachers are, boy, do they get time off. Oh, my goodness. And they get sick days, and you can use all of them. They get sick days out the wazoo.
I don't think they get paid on the strike, though.
No. No. But they get... Listen, I'm all fine. I think teachers should make much more money than they do. I think that they're an undervalued asset to the society, but they do get a lot of off time. That I will tell you.
Real quick, John. I'm just now seeing this replay. All right, John, you are obviously a big Red Sox fan. You
yes,
like
sir.
The Red Sox. You hope that they play well. You're, you know, this is you rah, rah, rah.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Does it kind of piss you off a little bit when they're as far behind in the standings as they are, yet when they hit a home run, they now have a new and improved cart that they roll each other in that has two guns that shoot out fake money?
I think that's utterly ridiculous.
Okay. Well, yeah, all right. What do you want them to do? They're there for 162 games.
The laundry cart thing's fine.
It's 162
games. I'm not one of these guys that gets like angry at stuff like that, but I know that there's going to be... I saw that. I know there's going to be people this morning like, all right, jackasses, you're down. What are you, 11 games out of first?
I don't care about that part of it.
By the way, they're like 3 games out of a playoff spot because everyone makes the playoffs this year. they really are. They were. I believe before they won last night, they were 4 games out, which makes me think they're probably 3 games out now. Just based on the amount of teams ahead of them, I would imagine something happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a chance that a team that could be a little bit under 500, I'm talking, you know, 5-6 games under 500 could make the playoffs as a wild card. But if you told me I had to sit there for 162 games, stupid Fenway. So think of when they get there. So at the least, you have to get there at least 3 hours before the game because batting practice is 2.5 hours before the game. So
unless you're Bobby Valentine, you can show up right before the game.
If you're the V-man, then you got to pick a kid up at the airport. I mean, they're an adult. Yeah. They couldn't possibly take a cab. So, I mean, those are expensive, especially in the San Francisco area. I mean, everything's more. But so you have to get there at least 3 hours before. People make fun of like baseball players because they're not football players. So you get there at least 3 hours before the game. The games are at least 3 hours long, so you're there an hour after the game. So you're probably there over 3 hours before the game because you're taking infield and stuff like that.
Looking at video, sure.
So you're there, and it's 162 games a year of I mean, you got to keep yourself somewhat interested in it.
Although I saw that video, and I'm not one of these people. I don't care one way or the other, but. I know that that's going to piss some people off this morning. Like,
fine, then
right,
they have no perspective.
Win more games.
They have no perspective of what these guys are doing. And in a good way to have a team start improving is to not
crush
allow,
their morale.
Yeah, to not have any fun.
By the way, speaking of the Fenway Sports Group, you know how they obviously just bought the Penguins. Did you see the new story out of Pittsburgh from yesterday?
No.
Okay, so I guess that there was one of the Penguins insiders, one of the most respected writers that covers the team, was on Pittsburgh radio yesterday, and he said that the Penguins offered Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin three-year deals worth $15 million.
That sounds familiar.
And that those low, in quotes, those low-ball offers did not sit well with Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, I didn't put two and two together with their ownership.
It's like, you know, so it seems like a similar theme between what's going on at Fenway Sports Group in Boston.
I can't believe that. The NHL has a hard cap, too. I mean, come on.
But if you were Pittsburgh, I mean, if you're Pittsburgh, how much are you going to pay Malkin and Letang to come back? It's insulting that you even made the offer. I get that. But, I mean, they're in a very similar position to the Bruins. I mean, they're an older team. They lost in the first round. How much money do you want to spend on those two guys?
I just love it that they've owned the team for less than a year now, and they've already pissed off Sidney Crosby.
You know, Malkin's 35 and 36 and before next season, and Letang's old. I just don't know how much they've... It's an insult to offer them that much money. I agree with that. Probably better off just not offering them anything. But I mean,
if you're gonna move on.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand. Yeah, but that is 3 years and $15 million is insulting to a guy like Malkin.
Right, right. You didn't need to do that. You're right. If you're gonna move on, that's fine. But that right there, all you did was just you took you're the team's most beloved player.
Yeah.
And pissed him off.
And Malkin obviously is getting older.
Sounds familiar.
He only played half the season, but he scored 20 goals in 41 games.
And they lost in the first round of the playoffs. So, I mean, if they might be thinking it's time to rebuild. And also the whole narrative of Henry being cheap is a little flawed considering how much he spends in the past. And
although in the last couple of years, you do admit that it's a completely different philosophy.
First of all, their payroll is not low right now.
It's not low because of the spending in the past.
Yes, I know.
But the philosophy has been different for the last three years now?
Ever since they hired Chaim Bloom, it's dramatically different.
Yes, but you knew that was going to happen because you can't keep Dombrowski as your general manager forever. I mean, Dombrowski just spends money and spends money on Sale, who's got something like 14 wins since he signed his new contract. But Dombrowski went out and spent an ass load of money and you won a title. And you have to come back from that. And they still are spending money right now. I understand.
You're talking about Story's contract?
No, I know Story's contract is just to get rid of Bogart's contract.
Who would be more expensive?
Yes. Right. No, I realize what's going on. I follow the team. Mm-hmm. I do. I'm here with you every day.
Mm-hmm.
I realize what's going on. I just think it's a little... I mean, there's teams out there that like have $30 million payrolls. I think and if I'm Henry, I'm furious because I got to be thinking, you losers didn't win anything until I became the owner. I become the owner. You win three championships. Now, if you look at the totality of championships in baseball history, it's like it's the Yankees, Cardinals, something, and then a group of teams that includes the Red Sox.
Yeah, they've won four titles since he took over.
Yeah, so like you went from like a punchline to a team that has won more titles than the vast majority of the baseball teams that have ever existed. So if I'm Henry, I would not be wild about this fan base. And also, he's spending money right now. Trevor Story was a bad deal, but so was Chris Sale, and that was spending money. Now, just go ahead and trade Bogarts for Gorman. Just do it today.
But the theme is similar. They've already pissed off their two best players. You've pissed off, obviously, Xander Bogarts.
But Bogarts is gone, so piss him off all you want. I don't agree with it either. He's a homegrown player. I would keep him around, too.
He is the face of the franchise, you're unceremoniously dumping him.
I would have kept him around, too.
And I don't like the way they've handled him at all. And what is that? What kind of message does that send to the players on the roster and prospective free agents?
What speaks to prospective free agents is money. What speaks to prospective free agents is money.
Well, money that you're not going to spend. Henry's not spending like he used to.
Who's Correa playing for right now?
Minnesota.
Yeah. Do you think that the huge amount of money Minnesota has put out in the last 30 years is what inspired him to sign over there?
They put out money for him.
Which is my point, is that screw for what free agents think about what you've done in the past.
I don't think the money. I honestly don't think the money is going to be there. The Red Sox are a big market team, which gives them an advantage in this sport.
And they're spending like a
big market team.
And they're spending like a big market team.
Not within the last two or three years, they're not.
People would be surprised what their payroll is right now.
payroll is mammoth because of the spending before the last two
I
or
understand
three years.
That, John, but the payroll's the payroll. He's still spending the money.
Things have changed in the last 2 years, and that will alter their perspective of people who want to come into this organization.
But you
come to the organization, and you are due a raise, or you've done a lot for the organization. They don't care.
Okay, but
they're going to let you go.
But, John, that doesn't matter, because if you're a prospect, they control your rights for until Kingdom Come.
I'm not talking about prospects.
But John, if you're a free agent, they pay you. And then you get your money.
But if you're a free agent, someone is going to pay you more than the Red Sox. That's my point.
Oh, you're not taking less to play for the Red Sox, but I don't think that was ever the case. Why the hell would I take less money to play for the Red Sox?
Things being even, the Red Sox are going to have to overspend to bring free agents in here.
Do you think they're going to have to spend more? They're going to have to spend...
If things are even,
all right,
and you know the way the Red Sox have treated a guy like Xander Bogaerts, you're going to look somewhere
else. So if I'm a 28-year-old free agent, I give a rat's ass how they treated Xander Bogaerts, it doesn't affect me at all.
I think all I'm saying is, if say the Yankees offer one
how
the
old's
same
Correa?
Amount of money than Red
how
Sox,
how old's Correa?
What Correa?
All I'm saying is, Correa was the number one free agent in baseball, and he signed a 3-year deal with the Twins. He's 27 years old. This isn't going to affect free agency at all. You pay him more. Yeah, of course you have to pay him more.
And I don't think the Red Sox are going to do that.
The Red Sox right now will tell you that they're going to try what they're trying to do. And we made fun of Dombrowski. But what they're trying to do now is they're trying to build up their farm system. They believe they have someone who can play first base. They believe they have the top outfield prospect. And, you know, that they're going to ingratiate these guys into the system. And eventually they have a kid who's 19 and you're betting a lot on that's going to take over at shortstop. I don't agree with the story signing. I don't agree with the way they treated Bogaerts, but I think Henry gets a lot of crap that he doesn't deserve.
Yeah, he's won 4 championships.
He deserves a lot of credit. Even how they're handling business now, like it's correcting the market. It's correcting it, and it's not like they're not spending any money. And I realize it's because of Dombrowski, but you made a deal with the devil. I mean, we all knew it. We knew it the minute that they hired Dombrowski. We knew exactly what they were going to do. He was going to do exactly what he did in Detroit, which is he was going to give everything up and make trades that you and I could make. And by the way, that sale trade's really panning out too, because it's not like the White Sox got anything back for him. They got that Kopech kid or whatever has got a sub-1 ERA. He throws about 150 miles an hour. And then if Moncada is healthy, he's their everyday third baseman who's got a tremendous upside. He's just been hurt. So they got fleeced in that trade. Be careful what you wish for.
Kopech's been hurt too.
But he has a sub-1 ERA.
This is his first year since the trade that he's been a major leaguer.
Would you like a pitcher with a sub-1 ERA?
Sure, I will. Of course
I will.
Well,
thank you. That's not that throws as hard as... And he's going to get hurt. He throws hard. But my point is this, is that... If I was Henry, you guys would drive me nuts. I go, I got you 4 titles. I'm spending more money than probably 5 teams, if that, in Major League Baseball right now. And I want to correct the market a little bit and get a little bit younger. And you're all nailing me.
Well, then speak to the media then and say something.
But they probably told him, you know what? You can't speak to the media because you can't speak.
Well, he doesn't have Lucchino anymore to jump in and cut him off. But he
no
says something
Uncle
ridiculous.
Larry running blocks.
John Henry's, let's put it this way. When God was giving skills, they gave John Henry a tremendous brain for certain things, and speaking and relating to other humans is not one of them. The story of him and John Lester is disturbing.
Yes.
But, I mean, you know, the man thinks in a certain way, and I wouldn't want him to talk either. And if I was him, I wouldn't want to talk. Again, I don't like defending owners.
We're in the sun here.
Something like, giving an umbrella.
I'll give you another example. Do you blame like the Jacobs? I wasn't here when hockey was different. But I mean, the Jacobs spended the cap. I don't know what more else they could do. And
no,
people still scream about Jacobs.
The narrative about the Jacobs being thrifty ever since the cap was instituted is false. I think we can all agree on that. However, before the cap,
right.
Yes, those arguments were certainly just.
Yeah, of course. And I wasn't here, so, but I know what they did.
But Jacobs were one of the. They were carrying the flag to get the cap instituted before the lockout.
Now, do I question how much the Jacobs care about the Bruins? Yes, I do. I don't know how much they actually live and die by the team's success, but I don't. But as long as they're paying up to the cap, what does it matter? Mm-hmm. I'd rather have them not be involved. But I do think about that sometimes. If I was John Henry, I'd be like, why don't you guys like me?
Maybe because it's the most expensive ticket in the league, the most expensive concessions in the league, and you're not this year giving us a good product.
Okay, but I would say, well, I can't give you a good product every year. No team does. No team does. I mean, the Dodgers are...
The Dodgers continue to spend money. They always spend money.
The Dodgers have had down years. The Dodgers aren't perennial world champions. Dodgers used to lose in the first round of the playoffs to the Cardinals quite often, if I am not mistaken. Mr. Clayton Kershaw blowing it. But, you know, the Yankees certainly have had down years since their run of championships. I mean, it just is it's the cycle of sports. And, by the way, the Red Sox were good last year. Now, not because of anything they did.
I know. That
by luck.
Yes.
But, Evan, luck is luck. And listen, if they're not that good this year, what are you going to do? And... Listen, I as a season ticket holder, Rich, I can tell you, the tickets.
I was wondering when you're going to pull
that
card out.
Are far too expensive.
You know, I was finally, I had an opening for Celtics tickets, and it was for like a 10. There was a 10 and a 20 pack that I could buy, and I looked at it. And I'm like, I've heard too many Fred horror stories to commit to 10 to 20 games like this. I can't do it.
Yeah, a 20 game pack, especially for that condensed season.
Yep.
Because that means you're going at least once a week.
Well, yeah, it's like half the home games.
Yeah, right.
See, the way I have it now is I've got it where I can pick and choose my games. I've got that like rafters thing.
Right. So because 20 games over the course of a Major League Baseball season is much more manageable. For instance, next month I only have 2 games, and then in July, I got 10 tickets over a course of a weekend.
You scared me away, Fred. You scared me away.
Well, you should be scared away. You should be scared away. Listen, the hot dogs are gross, and John insists that they snap makes me want to hit them.
They did. What do you want from me?
I do think there is a stand that sells Hebrew National at Fenway.
I have no idea.
Did you get the sausage from the sausage?
No,
did you get the hot dog from the sausage guy?
I had one hot dog, one sausage.
Well, the sausage is the sausage, but that comes in that bun that has been out for too long.
Yes, I will agree. The buns absolutely suck on the sausage. Yeah. That's very true.
Which is a shame because how could you screw that up? But they managed.
The mold was I had to cut the mold off.
You know, from what I hear, the beers are high priced, but they would turn around and they would argue, we've desperately tried to knock down this stadium, but they won't let us do it. So,
No. They were never... ever going to knock down
the stadium.
They were
going to expand it.
Yes. No. That was the platform they ran on when they bought the thing.
Right.
McCourt wanted to build in South Bay, and he was in competition. Dolan, I don't know what Dolan wanted.
No.
But this Henry group said, we're keeping Fenway Park.
Right. Okay. Keeping it in spirit and in location, but they were going to essentially grow it by a city block or by a street.
That was the goal. Yes.
So, I mean, I don't think they could justify charging if they did that. But their justification is it's the smallest park in baseball. It's smaller than PNC Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
They had to build it originally within the confines of the land they were given.
And by the way, if you pay a lot of money to go sit on the first base side, that's on you. I mean, that's no way to spend the day. But if that's what you want to do, then don't bitch about it. I mean, that's just what it is. I do miss, there is something though about living in a town like Atlanta where you could just go to a game if the thought came up.
Although you can now.
But you have to spend a lot of money. The thing is that I'm talking about a dollar. It was a dollar.
Oh, no. Yeah, bleacher seats were $1 when I went.
Yeah, you can get in for $50 now.
Yeah, I know, but $50, but if you're taking a family of 4, that's $200 plus the parking and the transportation and everything else. It's not just... When you're a broke, 23-year-old, and there's on a Sunday, do you want to go try to meet girls outside? Let's go to the Braves game.
Someone said, is Fred lobbying to throw out the first pitch with his backing of Henry?
No,
the Steve Aoki situation?
I absolutely do not want to throw the first pitch out of Fenway.
If you were asked, would you say yes? Yeah, you would.
I don't know if I could turn it down.
Yeah, you would. You got to. I mean, you got
to
do it.
I would do it. I would have to, like, I would have to. Benzos would have to be my friend that day. I'd have to do something to get under control. I'd be too nervous. That would be. I could speak. You know, I can improvise for 90 minutes in front of 1,100 people. Throwing that first pitch in front of 500 people sitting there. No.
You'll never be worse than 50 Cent. Just think of it that way.
Yeah, well.
There's a million that are worse than you.
Yeah.
No matter how bad you throw it. Steve Aoki went out there and threw it to the press boxes, and it's still not the worst pitch it's been.
Yeah, but they're showing it on TV today.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but it's one day, Fred.
And he's not. It's like Baba Booey. It would never go away. I'd be made fun of it for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life, and they would make fun of me for that.
But damn it, the world would know that you were important enough at one point in your life to throw out a first pitch.
Well, Adam 12 threw out the first pitch of the game. So
why did you just ruin it for me?
All right, so we'll be right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain
honey,
it.
Honey.
Did you call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Wait.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
It's the playoffs, and I feel like the deeper that you go, you know, it's more intense. It's physical. Even though the first round was very physical for us, it's not going to be any different. Both teams play hard, but both teams defensively are tops in the league or one of the best for sure. So that's what it is at this point. It's just a given that both teams are going to go hard.
We feel strongly about our defensive habits and principles. We're going to be tested, you know, against a very good team and great talent, just like they will be. You know, so we'll see.
If we're talking about the Celtics here, I just want to raise one red flag again, is that watching the national prognosticators, the Athletic has a pretty solid majority thinking the Celtics are going to win this thing. But I was watching something like this morning on ESPN, and they were going around the different teams, and you know they go around the Heat, and then they go, and then you have the Celtics, and this is unfair, but then they have the Celtics with Tatum, Brown, and Grant Williams, and you go, oof.
So you're saying that they're making him
the third?
Assuming he's the third best player, on the team?
Which of course he's not.
No, in game seven, he was.
Listen,
maybe even the second best player.
In game seven, he did what they had to do. They said they didn't show him any respect.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't show any respect to Grant. They said, "You shoot threes. We'll live with that."
Yep.
And he said, "You're going to die by that, my friends." But
I want to take a look, John, at the bubble, or it was the bubble that they played in the Eastern Conference Finals,
yes.
Right?
The six bubble games. Is garbage. Everything that happened in the bubble is not transferable to regular times.
I'm kind of starting to believe that. But
no, believe it. The Lakers wouldn't have won the championship that year. They just held it together better.
I mean, I think that it was definitely tougher to win a championship.
It was different to win a championship. I don't know if I'd say tougher. It was just anarchy. I don't count Tampa's championship that year either. I mean, it counts, but it was just your ability to adapt to that particular circumstance.
I'm just trying to remember the bench from a couple of years ago when the Celtics took on the Miami Heat, and it seemed to be like
off the top of your head, John. Go.
Oh God!
I'll give you Enes Kanter.
Yeah,
I know that he was one of the ones that was there.
I can't even remember.
Romeo Langford, I think, was one of the guys that was on the bench.
Well, he would have been a rookie.
Was your guy Wanamaker on that team?
Brad
Wanamaker.
My guy Wanamaker. You mean future Hall of Famer Brad Wanamaker?
Scream.
He might have been Semi Ojeleye
on that team.
Yep, I guarantee you, Semi Ojeleye was on that team. But just, I mean, the bench. The more I think about it, the bench was just awful. They're not good.
Much different than it is now.
Taco Fall was
more than three guys.
Carson Edwards
on that. They don't go more than three guys on that bench. right now, but those three guys are better than any of the guys we just mentioned.
Well, the main thing I keep...
Romeo Langford, Ogilvie, Wanamaker, Kanter.
No, it was an awful bench. Now, I'm not saying that you've got a better bench than Miami, because you don't, because Miami's got one of the best benches in the league.
I think Grant Williams was on that team, no?
Grant Williams was on that team.
He was.
Robert Williams was on that team.
Yeah, but Robert Williams hardly played, I think, that series.
Tice was on that team.
Yep.
It was a fairly similar bench.
Tice was... No, it's not a fairly similar bench.
Just in terms of names, not experience.
No, but all those bench players we just talked about.
Yeah, Williams, and Tice are still on the team.
But Tice was starting at that point.
Well, yeah. Fair, but I'm just telling you that the names are similar in that they're the same.
But Williams,
yes, rarely. But all those other guys.
I don't know what the argument is.
My argument is guys like Ogilvie and Wanamaker were actually key bench players on that 2020 team.
And Hayward was hurt during that whole situation, right?
Yes. Well, he came back for the last game, I think.
He hurt himself again during the Toronto series, I believe.
Yep.
And then was not able to play much against Miami.
Yeah, so now, I mean, despite the names being the same, you know, Grant Williams isn't the same Grant Williams.
Oh,
it's a different Grant Williams.
How dare you? There's been no improvements since his rookie.
Robert Williams, obviously not the same Robert Williams. But, I mean, you look at Miami Heat's bench, and, you know, between Victor Oladipo and, as you said, Tyler Herro, who's the 26th man right now. Although, you know, he hasn't been great in the playoffs, but during the year, he's been excellent. I mean, he's averaged...
Miami is a deeper team. They play a deeper team. They're deeper. They're better. They have a better bench.
Celtics starting five is better. Miami's bench is better.
There's no comparison. They have a better bench. I mean, they have an all-star coming off. They have two all-stars coming off their bench.
You also don't have many weak spots defensively, which Miami does have weak spots defensively.
How many times did Bam Adebayo post up on Kemba Walker
in the
Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago?
I mean, Kemba Walker is just, let's target the guy. Yeah. He couldn't defend. As Patrick Beverley would say, he was a cone, as he was talking about CP3 yesterday. Patrick Beverley just went crazy. And maybe we'll play some of those clips later on, but Patrick Beverley, if you didn't know, was on ESPN yesterday and just took a flamethrower, a personal flame. I mean, as personal as it gets, to Chris Paul, and he was just yelling about him, saying he was like a cone, he couldn't move, it's what everyone in the league calls him. And he said a bunch of stuff that was true, but he kind of went off. But
he went off on Twitter, and then the people at ESPN were smart enough to go,
let's get him on here.
Bring him on. We usually don't like controversy, but this sounds good.
And what ended up happening was kind of this fantastic ball that just kept rolling and getting bigger and bigger, because the first half of the day was Patrick Beverley talking trash, and the second half of the day were ex-players talking trash on Patrick Beverley for talking trash on Chris Paul. It was all Matt Barnes came out and was like, how dare you say this? Who do you think you are? He's going to be Chris Paul's going to be a Hall of Famer, and you're a role player.
Wait a second, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Chris Paul? Yeah, he'll be a Hall of Famer.
I think Fred was being facetious.
Okay.
Yeah, the fact that he's 40 and still talking about him, yes.
Those numbers are, you know, just cumulative from all that. Hall of Fame moneymaker, too, the amount of cash that guy's made over his career. But this is going to be a good series, and it's going to be physical.
It's going to be
long. It's going to be a lot of three-point shots, lots of three-point shots.
I know. And
lots of good defense, too, though.
Yes, it's good defense, good perimeter defense.
Well, we'll see how good the perimeter defense is. I mean,
three-point shots.
Oh, yeah.
Shots is a team that can shoot three-pointers. So if you got accustomed to watching the Bucks, this is going to be a much different situation. This is
best drip here.
That's Tyler Herro, of course, with talking about his drip.
He's got crazy drip.
Ugh, I can't stand that guy.
There is something about young white athletes talking about drip, because they had, like I said yesterday, they had the center fielder for the Harrison Bader mic'd up during the game, and he was talking about his drip. He was talking about, Rich, you know, like a $10,000 T-shirt.
Mm, wow, nice drip you got there.
Yeah. But it does, the T-shirt he was talking about does change color when heat is...
nice!
I always felt bad for the fat kid in middle school. The Gennaro Hypercolor shirts, probably the worst invention for, sweaty kids ever. Because, there was this one kid who was a little hefty, and he showed up, and you know how, it would change color where the hot spots were? He had these two purple spots right over his nipples.
Oh, man.
My wife. It was like a mean joke that the generic corporation.
If you had pit sweat, did it like go down the side of your shirt too?
No, it would just be like really dark purple underneath your armpit. I don't know I didn't see anything drip down, but I remember it was armpits and nipples on this one kid. I couldn't have felt worse for the poor kid.
Yeah, my wife was like, "You were sweating during the show at the over there on Friday," and I'm like, "You were in the front row of like the mezzanine. How the hell could you have told like if my pits were sweaty? I didn't have on like a black t-shirt that was like dripping with sweat." Like,
well, chances are yes. I mean, we're up there performing.
No, how could you possibly have been able to tell? I had a button up short sleeve shirt on, all of which used to fit me much better. But then this time passes, mm-hmm. and here we are. But yes, indeed, if you like the 3-point shot, if you like the modern NBA, and that, if you do the math, and it's better to shoot 30% from 3-point than 50% from 2-point, because if you do the math, you get more points from threes. You do all that stuff, then this is the series for you.
You were talking about perimeter defense. The Celtics in Miami were tied for first in lowest 3-point
allowed.
Percentage allowed.
Celtics have been excellent at it, and you're really going to be tested in this series.
The top two teams left in the playoffs.
Well, this is a team that can shoot threes. I mean, that Milwaukee team.
And Strus is their best 3-point shooter, 41%.
The one that got away.
Yes. Got beaten out by Javonte Green.
He played 40 minutes against the 76ers.
He's a starter.
No, I know, but if there's this like mystery if he's hurt, he played 40 minutes against.
Well, there's three guys that are on the questionable list. Not only their Gabe Vincent, PJ Tucker, and Max Strus. So
PJ Tucker played 39 minutes in that game. So,
well, I guess Marcus Smart played a ton too.
That was Thursday night, Fred. A lot of time has passed.
But PJ Tucker apparently is playing from everything that I've heard, because that's what they were talking
about. And that's the matchup to look at, because Tucker, if nothing else, a very good corner 3-point shooter and a very good defender.
Yeah, he's Tatum is his number one responsibility. So
one thing about Strus I don't know. Is he a good defender? Remind me, because I don't know.
Not
because I know he's obviously a sharpshooter, and the guy's been excellent.
No. If he's that good a 3-point shooter, I got to guess he's not that good a defender. Devotes his time to the gym, to the glory.
Well, I mean, Grant Williams can be both, you know.
That's right. By the way,
you can
that's the thing Grant Williams is projected to be. That's what they want Grant Williams to be, is PJ Tucker.
I guess he's pretty good. I'm looking at his statistics right now, and Strus has turned into a decent defender. I guess that, okay, if you want to hear something nerdy, during the postseason, the Heat have allowed just 94 points per 100 possessions, and with Strus on the court, and it's 116 while he sits. So whether that's all him or not,
it's all
the numbers sway.
Delving into Basketball Reference in front of us.
That's some nerdy. No, that's just a Google search.
Oh, all right. I thought you were on a website.
Strus defense.
That's very good.
No, it's just the first thing that popped up.
It's inarguable. I mean, if anything.
Listen, you're going to see two, not arguably, I mean, they're the two best teams in the East. And they're here in the finals for a reason. And it's going to be pissy. There's going to be attitude. Jimmy Butler's going to get... You're going to hate Tyler Herro.
We
already hate Tyler. We already hate Kyle Lowry when he plays.
I already have my guys picked out.
I cannot stand Kyle Lowry.
See, Kyle Lowry's a guy that's so good that I respect and Tyler Herro's a guy I just
hate.
He's
one of those guys that's great because he'll run in front of people, fall down, and start complaining. It's amazing. He's excellent at it. If he was on my team, I'd love him, but he's not, so I can't stand him.
I mean, I don't think you're going to be a big fan of P.J. Tucker's at the end of it either.
Sure.
Probably not.
No, P.J. Tucker's got it, but he's also a guy that I enjoy watching because he's got attitude. Jimmy Butler's that way, too.
So there you have it. All answers will be given to you tonight around 9 o'clock.
Jeez, man.
When things finally get going.
I
will be in dreamland.
No answers until about 11:15.
Well, you schmucks are still up there.
Damn right.
Watching something that will still be available the next morning. I will be in fast asleep.
That's right. The game will be in hand by the half.
Sure, it will.
If you think I'm staying up past 11 o'clock for anything at my age, there's no way. So I can consume all of that the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not living or dying behind this thing.
Are we getting the Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson team? What are we getting?
Hopefully,
I would think. Right?
Breen, Van Gundy, and Jackson.
It's oh, ESPN really? Tonight?
Yeah, that's them.
Yeah, but they could be doing the West Coast series. Unless they're flying back and forth.
No, they're not doing both series. All right, yeah. So we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Everything's slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we are Tusher and Rich. And Rich, you like The Office, correct?
I do. The Office. I love. The only thing is, I have not seen the seasons after Michael Scott left. I've seen like one or two, but I'd
season
never.
Season 9 is must see television.
Is it the final season?
It's awful.
Okay.
It's, and in fact, there is an episode that is a standalone episode that was for a would be spinoff about the Schrute family, and it's got. The kid from Silicon Valley, like the main character for Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Dwight.
Not Jared, who was on The Office.
No.
Okay.
The main character.
Okay.
Again, the main character. Yep. Jared would be an ancillary character. Mm-hmm. From Silicon Valley. Middleditch
yeah.
is his name. They had Dwight. He had a city-wise sister and then his doofus brothers. And the idea was that the matriarch of the family had died, and in order for them to inherit the farm, they were all going to have to move onto the farm.
Okay.
And it's an episode of The Office. It's a standalone episode. And only Oscar is the only guy from The Office that's actually in the episode.
Okay.
Because he agrees to go to the funeral. And that never was made. And now the two ladies, Pam and the little one, they're really taking advantage of The Office. Not only do they have a podcast, they've apparently written a book, which as much as I've seen every episode of The Office maybe five times, you couldn't pay me to read the book.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to extend it two more seasons, which I don't believe, because if you look, The Office tanked after Carell left and really tanked in season 9.
Mm-hmm.
Season 9 is terrible. Every character that they introduced failed. Everything, because season 8 had Spader,
yeah.
who was good.
Robert California,
Robert
right?
California, who yeah. was actually good.
Yeah.
And I enjoy those episodes. In Jim and Pam, and the actor and actress knew it, would be growing more and more insufferable.
Yeah.
So in season 9, they even tried to Hail Mary where they were going to have Jim cheat on her. That was turned down. Anyway, so some dude that's not one of the main guys, but someone who is, because it's not Feig or the other guy that's super rich now.
Mm-hmm.
This guy from The Office is got a something going on with Comedy Central that's got Toby, Oscar. It's got George Costanza.
You mean Paul Jason Alexander?
Yes, indeed. It's got Toby and Oscar. I don't know their real names.
Okay.
Oscar Nunez, I think, might be his
yeah,
real
yeah.
name. It's got Jason Alexander. It's got the Asian guy who bravely got nude in the...
Ken Jeong.
Yeah. Who walked off stage because he did not like that Rudy Giuliani
right.
had sullied the Masked Singer.
Right, the integrity the reputation.
Of the Masked Singer was out the window. Mm-hmm. I mean, you brought in Rudy Giuliani.
It's time
to
make a stand.
It really was time to make a stand, and not at all premeditated. And then not just anybody, but the AT&T chick. The woman from the AT&T commercials.
Yes.
Who is strangely hot in real life.
She was in Silicon Valley for an episode.
Yes. And now this is, and then Leslie Jones, so which we'll pretend is
it's a decent cast.
It's a fantastic
yeah.
cast, invited as Leslie Jones. So you look at this, and I don't know how the AT&T girl trends, like how she, but she's part of that whole all comedy scene in Los Angeles. I've Googled her. Don't worry about it. I wanted to see what was doing. It looked like something was happening underneath that shirt, and I wanted to see more. And sure enough, there was. And she's this like alternative comedy lady. but it might be called Out of Office, and it is a workplace comedy. That will be starring these people.
That doesn't sound like the right direction they should have gone in.
It says it is blurring the lines between working from home and should be private life, focusing on a woman who finds that keeping her job is somehow tied to helping her boss navigate his fast-failing marriage, which makes me think the AT&T woman
is
the main character.
I heard a while back that there was talk of making a Stanley spinoff, and I think that's one of the few spinoffs that could have been good.
No.
You don't think so? See, no. I think Stanley's a good enough character that you could have made a show
around. Stanley was funny, like, because he was always on the verge of death. And he was always cheating on his wife, but they never really got into it. Like, like he was on his fourth wife, but they never really got into it. No.
You see, I think Stanley's one of the few ones that popped would work.
How? There was nothing surrounding him.
Well, I think I read the plot and like what they were going to do, and it was about like his family life.
All right, because they were obviously throwing anything against the wall that they could.
Well, Stanley's a great comedic actor. The guy who plays him, obviously, he's very funny.
Well, I like his other work.
Well, I mean, he's great on the show.
Yeah, Stanley's good on the show. He's better than Jim and Pam. He's better than Angela. And the redheaded chick are the same.
Like, which other one could have had a Frasier-like spinoff?
The only one I get would be Dwight, but they went against it. They didn't think that it was strong enough. Dwight was the only character that was absurd enough, and they had, you know, introduced you to his family, yeah, had a beet farm, and that bed and breakfast. He's the one that could have had the spinoff.
Because Creed's one of my favorites, but you can't do a show about him.
No, because there would have been no...
He's the home run hitter. He just shows up, hits a home run, and leaves.
And there would have been no structure to it, because it would just have been anarchy. Like, there,
sure.
As much as you might not like it, there has to be a structure to the sitcom. There has to be certain parameters. I mean, you're limited to where you can shoot scenes. Frasier, for instance. Apartment, coffee shop, right? Cheers, bar. Like, you know, Seinfeld, apartment, and then the coffee shop. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's like, you know, you have to have a couple places where you shoot. You can't be willy-nilly all over the place. But, yeah, if you're telling me spinoffs, I can't believe they had a Stanley spinoff.
Robinson, or that's his name, right?
I don't find him funny.
Oh, you see, I do. I think he's funny.
He hasn't been in anything where I thought he was funny. Like, his character in The Office wasn't particularly good.
Oh, I thought he was a good character.
He was just someone you rooted for because he was stuck in the warehouse until he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
See, in the later episodes, he becomes part of the... They move him up from The Office.
He's like a manager, right?
Well, then him and Jim strike out on their own to start their own athletic agency.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Once again, I stopped right when... I just stopped caring, I guess, like most people.
Well, most people watch the reruns, and it is what it is. If it's on, it's on.
So it's a Todd Packer. I'd watch a Todd Packer show.
It would be not funny after 5 minutes, because you can't... Because as much as Packer was great... Like, by the last time Packer was on in season 9 and he gets fired, spoilers all over, he gets fired, and by that time you're like, good. Like, good, get rid of him.
I always thought that underrated was Jan Levinson Gould. She was a great comedic actress.
Yeah, she was great. I mean, just the episode where they're...
Well, the dinner party's just the most uncomfortable, awesome episode of television.
Yeah, and then when she gets the fake breast, and then she... She's like, is it because of these? He's like, no! But, yeah.
We've said this before, but I mean, if they got together for one of those Netflix reunions things, I mean, you could, I don't know how much you would, Steve Carell, what do you think? $40 million?
From what you tell me, Gilmore Girls made, he would make more than anyone's made in Netflix history based on a show.
To bring them back for like one season.
If you told me...
Steve Carell could ask for $40 million.
I could tell you exactly what... Yes. I could tell you exactly what I would do, too, is that I would have Jim and Pam be divorced. And I would have... I'd have Jim and Pam be divorced and maybe one of them not on the show. Then I would have Dwight back as the boss of the company, because that's how it ends, with him managing the local branch.
Okay.
And I would have Carell come back as a salesman. And then you could bring Packer back a couple times.
Oh, sure.
At that point.
Is that a bad idea? Have Dwight be Michael Scott's boss?
Yes.
I like that.
Thank you, Rich. We should write a spec script when this is, when the show's over today. Yeah, and I would have Jim and Pam be divorced, and I would have it's just, so if I could get him, I would have Krasinski over the Pam, and I would have him. Wouldn't it be interesting if he was like kind of like a loser who like has whose company failed because his marketing company failed, so he had to come back to Scranton, get a job back at the place. He's divorced. Pam's off like as an artist somewhere, and he's in Scranton, kind of down on his luck. So he's not the smug guy anymore. He's kind of like the loot.
Uh-oh.
I mean, am I cooking with gas
the
right
light
now?
The bulb just went off, I mean, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, we're running late, but that. I mean, I'm giving you, I'm pouring gold on you right now.
I see that. My God.
I'm pouring gold on you. And then the rest of the people could just still be there.
Who's, I mean, who's the heavyset woman with glasses?
Oh, God. The matronly one, as they say. She's married to Bob Vance.
Yeah, Bob Vance, Vance Refrigeration. God. What is her name?
How can I watch the show that much and not know her name?
She needs to come back and be like someone who won the lottery.
No, you don't have to do anything else to the rest of the cast. They've just stayed. It's fine. They've kept the job for, you know, 10 years. Mm-hmm. That's normal. She was a Kansas City Chiefs cheerleader when she was younger. Phyllis.
God, that's it.
I cannot. Boy, am I dumb. I just gave you fire, and then I came out and put it out with my own urine. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.